T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Here we go. It is a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. And the Eurythmics are your artist of the day.
Yeah.
They more than have enough hits.
Love that song.
Good afternoon, everybody. Sam Stevie's over there. That guy over there is Will Sterrett.
Dana Wright. Howdy.
I'm Scott Parks. Got the pleasure, Dana, last night to meet Julie. She is real. She does exist.
How did the concert go?
She's delightful. The concert was fantastic. I think Will and Julie, who didn't know any of the songs or maybe one song.
We knew like two.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Was it freezing?
I wasn't cold.
And you were wearing shorts, too.
Yeah. I was fine. But then again, I was also jumping up and down like a flea.
Yeah.
I was cool, but I was okay.
I thought the show was great.
Good, good. I wish I could have joined you. I wish I could have.
But I have a story from the show last night that when I see him again, we're going to have a talk.
Okay.
So we get to the show, Michael Franti show, down at Crossroads last night. And I'm not name dropping or nothing, but this plays into the story.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be friends with the guitarist in Franti's band, the lead guitarist. His name is Jay Bowman. And so we had talked over the weekend. I said, can you set me up with some tickets? Will call, blah, blah, blah. So we go to Will call, show my ID. I get the tickets. And inside with the tickets are 2 all-access passes. Okay?
Okay.
So I said to Will and to Julie, I said, we'll be back in a little bit. I think this is kind of a message to come back and see him.
You said, bye, Felicia.
I said, bye, Felicia. Bye. And so we go backstage. And we end up on his tour bus, Jay Bowman's tour bus. And it's like 40 minutes before the show starts, whatever.
Yeah.
He's scarfing down a Jimmy John's and a bag of chips. And then, and you got to keep in mind, with Jay Bowman, he is 47 years old, looks like he's about 35, very good looking, and cut like an Adonis. I mean, washboard abs and everything. So Kelly and I are sitting back there on his tour bus, and we're just shooting the you-know-what, And then he says, I got to get dressed. And he just takes off his shirt right in front of Kelly like it's no big deal. And I'm on the couch in the tour bus. I'm like, come on, man. Come on. And he goes, what? I go, I'm about to lose my girlfriend. And he's just standing there with his 8-pack abs.
Have you not seen Crazy Stupid Love? Steve Carell. There's a knock at the door. It's Mark Wahlberg not wearing a T-shirt. Shirt up.
And I go, come on. And he goes, I'll get a shirt on in just a second. I go, a shirt now. Damn near lost my girlfriend last night.
Well, no. I mean, you don't look that bad with your shirt off, I'm sure.
Really? Next to that?
Well.
You and Julie need to watch Crazy Stupid Love. That scene with Mark Wahlberg when he takes that shirt off, and I'm sure Jay has a 6-pack. Mark has 15 or 22.
I will say this. He did say, Jay looked at me and he goes, he's putting on this like, it's a wife beater T-shirt, and it's got Marilyn Monroe on the front. And he goes, Scott, simmer down. And I go, what? And he goes, I have to do, and I don't know if this is like required or what. He goes, I have to run 5 miles a day, do 200 sit-ups and 300 push-ups so that when I go out on stage, I look like I'm addicted to heroin. That's what they want.
I mean, he's not wrong.
He's looking really thin.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he said.
I wonder if it's all the jogging. Said no one when you look at a rock star.
Right.
That's funny.
So anyway.
That is funny.
We had a good time. They played all the hits, and the sound was great. It's such a positive show.
Yeah.
You know, it's so positive. And you could go to a Franti show and just be in the worst mood in the world.
Yeah.
When you leave, oh, man, you're on cloud nine. It was so positive. We had a wonderful time. I'm not going to bore you with that. You got a big night tonight.
Well, one of the reasons I could not hang with you guys at Franti, because you know I would have. Monday night's my free night. You know I would have. I had to study up a little bit more for tonight because Glennon Doyle is in town. She is an internationally famous best-selling
author. Yeah, I know
author.
The name. Where do I know the name?
Goodness.
The book. What's the name of the book?
Love Warrior.
Love Warrior, yeah.
And it is fantastic. She has a new book coming out, and she is our keynote for a fundraiser for Safe Home, a domestic violence shelter here in our area. And so I'm thrilled that I am moderating that discussion with her tonight. And I was watching some clips with her talking to like Oprah. You know, she's Oprah famous.
Right.
And if you have not read Love Warrior, please make time for it. It is raw and honest and funny. And she talks about addiction and struggles in her marriage at the time, struggles as a mother at the time. It's just very, very good. And so she's in town tonight. And I didn't want to just walk into that cold and be like...
Did you read the book?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I did. It is heavily underlined. Heavily underlined. And one of the reasons she became famous
is...
Was
it fiction or is it
Oh, no,
true?
It's about her life.
Oh, okay.
She was bulimic from age 10, got into serious addiction issues, body image issues, until her sobriety, which she talks about heavily in the book. I know that would resonate with you, Scott.
Sure.
And one of the reasons she became so famous, you know these stupid Facebook... Let's see how many people respond to this. Everyone write down 25 things no one knows about you. You've seen those dumb things online. And people write things like, I don't like Diet Coke. You know, they write these 25 things. So one day, several years ago, she decided to play. And she was going to write down 25 things that no one knew about her. But her 25 things were... things that most of us would never share.
Were they dark?
Yes. Hmm. And she wasn't thinking like most people are going to write. In one of her examples, one of her friends wrote, I love hummus. And she wrote things like, I still miss alcohol and binging from time to time. And it was this very raw, honest thing. And it went stupid viral, crazy viral. Because I think women and men saw it and thought, why can't we all just be honest on Facebook? Mm-hmm. Why is it always, look how great my life is, mm-hmm. and I got a new car, and the kids are great, and my marriage is great. Well, her list was, marriage is hard, and sometimes I want to flee my kids. And that's where her fame started. It's really interesting.
I'm trying to think, and just to be honest, because I think that's one thing we do well on this show, is we're painfully honest.
But are you always really honest? Are most people always honest? When someone says, how are you doing today? What do we all say? I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah, but that's because they don't really want to know the answer.
And that's a great other way to look at this conversation.
Because someone asks, hey, how you doing today? And you start actually telling them.
Right.
Their eyes glaze over because they don't cares.
And they won't be asking anybody that question.
She
for
talks
at least
about that
two
in
days.
The book. Yes. Somebody asked, how are you doing? And she gives this long, beautiful, complicated, funny answer about being a mother. And she said the look on the other woman's face was shock at this like play date. And she says in the book, I guess we're not supposed to share that. So I love it. She's amazing for her honesty. And I think if everyone in the world, you know, was honest about life, the world would, you know, as she says, probably be a better place. But you're honest on the show, I think. I try to be.
I would like to think that I am, yeah. I mean, I always look at this show as my 4-hour therapy session every day.
Yeah.
Honest to God. That's the way I approach it. It's my 4-hour therapy session.
Without 4 hours of therapy a day, what kind of mess would you be?
Yeah. Well, it would be very expensive if you outsourced that.
Yeah.
Just be drowning in a bathtub of alcohol, probably.
Right?
With a straw.
Well, at least you'd have the straw.
576-7798.
If you search for tenderness, it It isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to get.
I want so badly to like Billy Joel. I just can't do it.
You lost your damn mind.
I just can't do it.
It's so odd that you don't.
It is odd.
Because you like everything that kind of falls into that same general hopper.
I just, for whatever reason, his voice just is no good to me.
It's like my best friend with Steve Winwood. Likes everything that you would think a Steve Winwood fan would like.
Yeah.
Hates Steve Winwood.
See, I love Steve Winwood.
I do too.
I can't stand Billy Joel's voice. I just hate it. I don't know why. Mm. Don't tell EJ. Story here from the Washington Post. The three people walking through a dimly lit parking lot near a University of Connecticut student apartment complex probably didn't know they were being watched, but as the trio crossed in front of an open window, repeatedly shouting out the N-word louder and louder, a person inside wasn't just observing, they were recording. Now, university officials, University of Connecticut, say an investigation into the 11-second video, which started to widely circulate on social media, has prompted campus police to arrest and charge two students Monday night with violating a hate crime statute. Jared Carroll, or Carroll, and Ryan Mukage, both 21, described as white, were charged with ridicule on account of creed, religion, color, denomination, nationality, or race.
That's a long charge.
Yeah, it's a misdemeanor. They face 30 days in jail and a fine of $50 apiece. Police found that the third person in the video didn't participate in saying the racial slur. Danny, go ahead. The arrests come amid outcry from students demanding that administrators address racism and promote inclusion on the university's main campus in Storrs, Connecticut.
This is going to have to involve a discussion about hate speech, which is protected speech.
It is protected, and it should be.
That is long, long settled law. Tell me what the charge is again.
Do we have another 5 minutes to read the entire charge?
Well, we need to get into the weeds of exactly what they're calling this. What
ridicule on account of creed, religion, color, denomination, nationality, or race.
I like the ridicule part.
I like the fact that color and race are actually considered separate here, but whatever.
Is it a civil rights violation? I have three questions.
No,
it's
a criminal charge.
But I'm asking you, could this be, quote, a civil rights violation, number one, a criminal charge, and if so, what, number two, and number three, violation of a university policy which could lead to your expulsion? Now, I think one and three, the answers are yes. Two, criminal.
No. You have the right to be a racist jerk.
Yes, you do. Sadly, you do.
And to charge, and I want to be very clear, I'm not in favor of people walking around a university campus. By the way, this only goes to further my argument that the most racist people in this country do not live in the South. They live in the Northeast. Clearly. And that's a fact,
Jack. If you're the parents of these two kids, do you fight this charge?
Yes. Absolutely I fight this charge. Try getting a job, because they're 21.
They're going to Google this when you go to apply for a job, they are going to get results either way. Do you Lori Loughlin this and fight it, which we will get to later in the show, or do you say, I am a better person than this. I was raised better than this. I am sorry for this. There is no excuse for this. And then you beg for forgiveness from that university and you move on.
It's not the university that's charged them.
Well, but the university's going to kick them out for it.
It's the state.
The university's going to kick them out for it.
Well, that may be true. You have the right to say the N-word, and I don't care what color you are. You also have the right to get your butt whipped for saying it.
Actually, that would be assault or battery.
That's true. that part would be a crime, whoever beats you. But you have the right in America to be a racist jerk.
Then, Scott, where did this law come from?
It's unconstitutional.
Is it possible that no one has challenged it?
It's possible that no one's ever been charged with it, therefore it's never been challenged.
So do you want to be the one to drag that challenge through court?
Do you want to be the one who has a guilty verdict on your record for a misdemeanor count of ridicule on account of race? I don't. Do you want to be the one that stands up for your rights?
One of the problems with a law like this is that earlier this week or last week, I'm sorry, all the hours of the shows run together, there is a janitor who lost his job for repeating back the N-word.
Update on that. His job has been restored.
After a student was using it against him. The mm-hmm. student was black. Mm-hmm. The janitor was black.
Correct.
The problem with this law is, where do you draw the line? If you are a black person using that word to ridicule another black person, would that person be charged?
576-7798. Two students, white, at the University of Connecticut have been charged with a misdemeanor account, or misdemeanor count, beg your pardon, for using the N-word, for shouting it at somebody. 576-7798. 576-7798. From the text line, there is more racism, but it's more casual in the South. Less racism, but more extreme in the Northeast, Scott.
Oh, that's interesting. Sad and awful, but interesting.
I can subscribe to that.
A guy named Jared Carroll and another guy named Ryan Mukage. What a horrible last name.
Right.
21 years old each. They're white. They've been charged in Connecticut, their University of Connecticut students, I believe, because they were walking by a housing complex and were videotaped in an 11-second video shouting out the N-word repeatedly, getting louder and louder as they walked by. And they have been charged with ridicule on account of race. Ridicule on account of race. Don't you have a right to be a racist jerk? I mean, if we're going to start arresting people based on their position regarding people of a different color, and stop it on the text line. I'm being serious here for a minute, guys. I'm getting a million. Well, we need to start arresting every rapper in America. This is a hate crime statute, and that's important.
It's about the ridicule and the repeated 11-second use of that word. And let me ask you this, playing devil's advocate here. If this truly went on for 11 seconds, and that's just what was caught on tape, does it cross over from free speech to threat?
The threat would have to be implied or inferred, and that is really subjective.
Here's the other question I will, and this is on your side now, that I will pose to you. This law is ridicule on account of creed, religion, color, denomination, nationality, or race. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting gender is not included in the law.
Interesting point.
And if gender was included in the law, there are about 100 people on the text line who should have been charged in the last year. Yeah. You've seen them.
It's
the reason I'm no longer there.
Sure.
So is that illegal? I would argue it is not. Does it make you a horrible human being? Yes. Can you be charged with that? No. As you said, people have the right to be horrible human beings.
You do. You do have that right.
Now, I'm wondering if the duration of this speech comes into play here. It was 11 seconds that we know about. It wasn't one use of one of the most horrible words in our language one time. It was repeated and shouted. And if maybe they can draw the conclusion that 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 was threatening in nature, then maybe...
How is that possible?
Scott, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out...
I mean, saying the N-word, while despicable, is not threatening. You can't imply... Check that. You can't infer a threat from somebody calling you a name.
But if it was written, also speech, also communication, and posted on someone's dorm room door who happened to be black, I would perceive that, if I was the person living in that dorm and I was black, I would perceive that as a threat. I think a word can be threatening. I think it depends on circumstance. I would absolutely feel fear and threat if it was written and handed to me or posted on the door where I live. So why is it different that they're shouting it walking by?
Do they know that the person that they're shouting it to is black? And even if they do, I still don't think that's grounds for a criminal charge.
You bring up a good point. If it's person to person, you know the recipient.
Like, Dana, if you're black, okay, you and I are both students at the University of Connecticut.
Okay.
All right? We're walking down the sidewalk at campus in opposite directions. We come face to face. And I look at you and I go, N-word.
I would feel threatened by that.
Where's the threat?
I would feel threatened by that.
Are you saying the threat's implied?
Yes. For me, yes.
What if I walk by somebody that I think is gay and I go, queer? Is that a threat? Or is it only a threat when it's the N-word because we consider that word to be more grotesque?
But how do you define threat and how do you define fear?
Boom.
And I don't want to bring in the hypocrisy of our gun laws, but there are some states which say if you feel fear, that's your right to retaliate in some manner. And I've always poked holes in that because how do you define fear?
But you have also, as I have on this show, defended what is almost the indefensible, and that's Fred Phelps and his moronic clan, picketing the funerals of homosexuals or concerts or military funerals. And I'm not going to get into the term, the F-word term that they use, but they've also had placards that said, God loves dead soldiers. Could you not infer that as a threat?
I, again, if that was directed toward me, would feel threatened by the instability of that group and what it stood for. But the courts have ruled all the way up to the highest that that is
protected speech.
Disgusting, abhorrent, but protected speech.
And I would agree with the high court.
I think the second you start crossing the line over into threat, you've broken the law. And Scott, I don't know where that line is.
Nick in Kansas City. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Scott. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you.
So I know you hate bringing up his name, but I just had a question, and I don't keep up with politics super close, so I don't remember her name either. But wasn't just a few months back there a certain government official who identifies as Muslim, wears a hijab, things like that, and didn't
Ilhan Omar is her name.
Oh, okay, perfect. And didn't Trump ridicule her for her race and religion and kind of made some comments about sending them back somewhere?
Said that she needed to go back where she came
right.
from. Yes.
And to me, that sounds more of a threat than the N-word does, just yelled out in the air. And I'm not for using the word at all, but if we're going to start pressing charges, I would like an even playing field, if you know what I mean.
The point is, where do you draw the line, Nick? And it's a great point. And I don't know who gets to decide.
Well, the courts do, obviously. I would only say this, Dana, as I know you are a staunch defender of the freedom of speech, I would rather we err in drawing that line too far back than drawing it too far forward.
I had a boss tell me once about the Supreme Court ruling regarding the Phelps and the free speech to picket. He said, you have to support that and you understand why. And I kind of nodded and he said, you have to support their right to do that because you don't want that line drawn further in where they are curtailing your speech or my speech. It has to be protected. As disgusting as it is, it has to be. There is no other ruling based on our system of rules and laws, that could have even come out of this. And it doesn't make it any less disgusting.
Right.
But it has to be free.
Supporting the right is not an endorsement.
Correct.
Of the behavior. It is saying, what you're actually endorsing is not what they're saying. It's you're endorsing the government not criminally charging it. And there is a difference.
What's that quip? I disagree with what you say, but I'll fight to the death for your right to say it.
That's exactly right. Robert in Wyandotte County. Robert, hello.
How you doing, man? Thank you for taking my call.
Any day.
I had a mixed feelings about that, man. I don't think they should be charged, personally. But, see, I was 21 in 1981. And growing up in Wyandotte, if two Europeans had walked through a housing project yelling the N-word, there'd be a whole different news story today because there'd been a lot of police called to the scene of the crime.
By Europeans, you mean white people?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's be careful here, Robert. I don't think you would appreciate it if I called black Americans Africans.
His point, though, this type of speech, though it may be legal, and we have seen it before, can and does lead to bad outcomes.
Yes, it does.
For all involved. And Robert, thank you for the call.
As misguided as it was, I thank you for the call. 576-7798. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street. So we're talking about the two students at the University of Connecticut who have been arrested and charged. Arrested and charged for shouting the N-word as they walked by a student complex. Now, if the argument is it was in the middle of the night and people were sleeping and they're walking by the student complex shouting out the N-word and you arrested them on disturbing the peace, okay. I don't think I would have much of an argument to that. That's not the charge they were arrested on. They were arrested and charged on account of ridicule, on account of race. Now, if you had said it was 2 o'clock in the morning and these morons were walking by screaming out the N-word and we got them on disturbing the peace, you got it. No problem. They have no right to infringe on the privacy rights of somebody else.
It also could be threat and it could be assault, depending on the city you live in, Scott. Ask any police officer. I had one tell me once, if you go outside of your house and you start screaming at the person next door, they can be cited for that. Even in your own backyard, you can be cited for that.
But I have the right, and of course I would never do this. Let's say, you know, I'm just sitting there on my front porch, minding my own business in Roland Park. Okay? And my neighbor happens to be black.
Yeah.
And he's out mowing the grass. And just during a break when he's bagging the grass clippings, I look over and go, you're just a stupid N-word. I'm a jerk. I'm a racist. I should be punched in the mouth. I did not commit a crime. I have the right to be a racist, loudmouth jerk. And he has every right, and then he'll be arrested for coming over and punching me in the mouth. But I deserve to be punched in the mouth because I'm a loudmouth racist jerk. Kyle in Belton. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, good.
Hi, all right. I want to say right now that what I love about America the most is because we have the right to our own opinion. And that's what I like about it the most. And no one can force someone else's opinion on anyone. But this time I'll have to disagree with you, Scott, because I say this, okay, I'm a black African-American. I'm in my mid-50s. I don't think that I should be able to have the right to go down to the Country Club Plaza or Zona Rosa, where it's kind of more dominantly of my opposite race, and start screaming out offensive words that's going to make that other race wonder what is wrong with this guy. Is he on drugs or something? Because what is coming out of his mouth is offensive to us. Yes, I have the right to be a jerk or a racist if I want to, but when it's infringing on someone else's right to come out of their home and enjoy their time out with either their girlfriend, their wife, their family, without me coming out speaking the way I feel that it should be a law against something like that, because what those two gentlemen were doing, they were out speaking, you know, obscenities
yelling
in the neighborhood. They could have, yeah, yelling that could have caused a ruckus. So we don't, as Americans, we have to respect each other and have a boundary because if we don't.
Kyle, wait a minute. Let me interrupt you for a second because we're a little bit short on time and I want to give you time to respond.
Okay.
If the argument is, and I think you're trying to make this, that if my speech has the potential to cause... Hey, do you have your radio on, Kyle?
Yes.
Can you turn it down, please?
Thank you. Okay, sorry.
If your argument is that we need to restrict speech that has the potential of causing a ruckus, then we can no longer permit people who are white supremacists a permit to protest in any American city because their protest has the potential to cause a ruckus.
But wouldn't you say that there's a time and a place for everything?
Yes, I believe there's a time and a place for free speech.
Right, okay. I'm saying, that. Do you think that that would be offensive to you if I went down to the plaza and you were out with your girlfriend that you were talking about earlier?
Yes.
And I'm just coming down there and I start yelling out obscenities.
Yes.
Yes, it would be offensive. I don't have a right not to be offended.
But Scott, I'm going to disagree with you slightly there and agree with Kyle here. The minute you are shouting and yelling, you, and I agree with you, Kyle, are starting to bump up against at least breaking an ordinance. I don't think it's a felony, but you don't necessarily have the right to go screaming at somebody. You don't.
So every white supremacist rally where they're yelling across at the anti-protesters and the anti-protesters are yelling back at the white supremacists, are we going to arrest all of them?
If they have a permit to peacefully assemble, the answer is no. But I go back to my neighbor argument that if you start screaming and shouting obscenities at your neighbor, in some cases, you can be charged for that.
But the anti-protesters don't have a permit to be there. The white supremacist protesters do.
We should have our police officers text in on this.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember which officer it was that gave me the example of the screaming in your backyard. Do I think it's, you know, one of the top 1,000 things that prosecutors want to deal with? No. But I think you have to be careful when those obscenities are said in a certain manner. And so I think that's what Kyle is saying. If he went up to you on the plaza, I mean, we go back to, do you feel fear? Do you feel threatened if someone comes up and starts screaming at you and your girlfriend on the plaza? I think most people would say yes.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it. What is this? What is that? What is that? What is that noise?
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.